Also, just to let you know, I will be picking back up in Romans in mid-September. That's when we're going to be picking back up in Romans. We'll do a review of Romans 6, and then we'll get back into 7. So Colossians chapter 2, you with me? Get your Bibles open there. The title of today's message, Remain Stable in Your Faith. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Remain stable, to remain steady, to be unwavering, to be firm. That's God would want us to be firm in our faith, to be unwavering in our faith. He'd want us to stand firm in Him. He'd want us to be stable in what we believe. He'd want us to be steady, right? Wouldn't you agree? God doesn't want us wavering in all of that. Would you do something for me today? Would you stand up? Can I get you to stand up? Just to put a little application to what we're talking about, now everybody stand on one foot. Yeah, some of us won't even try, will we? It's kind of wavering, isn't it, right? Go ahead, you can sit back down. But the idea here, just to get you to do that, is God wouldn't want us wavering in our faith, right? He wouldn't want us like, oh, well, you know, we would want to be firm in what we believe, firm in our trust in Christ, firm in our walk with the Lord. He would want that in our life. But life isn't like that, is it? We're always challenged. Sometimes we're standing on one foot. Sometimes it doesn't seem like any, right? We'd want to remain stable in what we believe in and what we trust in and what we know to be true in God's word, but life just challenges are what they are. As we live our lives for the Lord, as we seek to honor God, desire to grow and mature in our walk with Christ, our faith in Christ, listen to this, our faith in Christ in all that He is, in all that He did, in all that He does, and all that is ours in Him is to remain stable, isn't it? It's to remain steady, unwavering, firm. The truth taught through Colossians 2 here of this chapter is the sufficiency of Christ. He is sufficient. The work of Christ, the life and death and resurrection of Christ is sufficient for our salvation. Would you agree? Well, it didn't sound like you agreed. Do you agree that the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, the work of Christ on the cross is sufficient for our salvation? Yes. We don't have to add something to it, do we? No. Do we have to add something to that? Do we have to, you know, that's... We don't want to be wavering in that. And the Apostle Paul is teaching this. But get this truth too. The truth taught through this chapter is in the sufficiency of Christ, that in our salvation we have been made complete with complete forgiveness, with complete victory, with complete access to God, to know His truth and to be led to walk in His ways. Our life in Christ is sufficient for us to live for the Lord. Do you agree with that? Do we need something else from God? The life that He's given us in Christ, is it sufficient for you to walk with the Lord, for you to live for Christ? Yes. Is it sufficient? Yes. Well, how come we waver in that all the time? Yes. We waver, right? We're just not steady in that. The world comes and all that. So the Apostle Paul is writing here wanting us to remain stable in our faith. Sure, the sufficiency of Christ is true. So all over the place, the scriptures in the New Testament exhorts us that if we want to really live, we stand firm in the Lord. That's 1 Thessalonians 3:8. If you really want to live, if we want to live, if we really want to be living for the Lord, we want to stand firm in the Lord, don't we? Hebrews 3:14 says that we have become partakers of Christ and we're to hold fast our assurance firm to the end. We're to be steady in our life all the way through the end. In our faith in the Lord and faith in Christ and faith what He did in our life. 1 Peter 5:9 says, Peter exhorts us there that we are to resist the devil and his schemes and be firm, steady, unwavering, stable in your faith. That's the attack of the enemy, to get you to believe that God didn't do enough, that you don't have the ability to walk with the Lord, that those things that are obstacles to you, hurdles to you, challenges to you, you don't have any power to get over them. That you need some other work, that you need some other thing, you need some other tradition, some other religiosity, you need something else other than placing your trust and belief in Christ and having the transformed life of Christ, that you need something else. That's the enemy's schemes. Peter also wrote in 2 Peter 3:17, he says, we're to be on guard so that we won't be carried away by error and fall from your steadfastness, meaning of your faith in Christ and all that Christ is and all that you are in Christ. We're to stand firm. Stable, steady in our faith, the sufficiency of the Lord's work and our life in the Lord. Peter also wrote, probably a passage that you guys, probably some of us have memorized, but it's so impactful in our life. He also wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, he said this, seeing that His divine power, God's divine power, has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Okay, so by divine power, we've been granted to us in our new life in Christ everything pertaining to living that life of a godly life through the true knowledge of Jesus, who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these, his glory, his excellence, he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by these promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature. That's the new life in Christ, the salvation God gives in Christ, having escaped the corruption that's in the world by lust. That's the truth of God in our faith, that we have escaped the corruption in the world of lust. Now, we have to battle it. We have to deal with our hearts. We have to not walk by the flesh, but in the power of Christ, we've been saved, being sanctified, transformed, new life in Christ. And our faith is in that as we walk with Christ, as we follow him, as we go along, that we can live for the Lord. We can change. We can grow. We can, because of the sufficiency of what Christ's work of the cross did. We don't want to be unstable in that. We don't want to be unwavering. And that's what the Apostle Paul is really in the application of Colossians 2. He teaches all that deep theology. We're not going to get into it today. We're going to look at the application of it. Put it this way, 2 feet, left foot, finished work of Christ. You're standing on the finished work of Christ. Do you need something else for your salvation? Do you need something else? Is there anything else? We're going to stand firm on your left foot. It's the sufficiency of Christ, that the work of Christ is enough, nothing added to save you. Stand firm on your right foot. The life that God gave you in Christ, the sufficiency of the Christ, of the life that you have in Christ, that God gave you, is enough for you to walk with the Lord and honor him. It's in Christ. It's in 2 feet. We're to stand firm in that. Do we have to apply ourselves? Sure. Do we have to learn God's word? Sure. Do we have to deal with our heart? Yes. But because of the transformed life that I've been given in Christ, I can, because God's word says I can. Will it be hard? Well, sure. Will I have to be self-denying? Sure. Will I have to deal with some things? Will God have to work in my life and change me and grow me and mature me? Sure. But he will, and I can, because of Christ and Christ alone. Amen? That's what we stand upon. And so the Apostle Paul's teaching that. Look at me with chapter 2. The Apostle Paul, in verses 1 through 5, introduced us to the sufficiency of Christ and to his joy that those that are in Colossae have a stability in their faith. And they know that they have everything they need in Christ to live godly lives. That's what they're believing in their salvation. Look what Paul, the Apostle Paul, writes to them. Now, he's never met them, and he's been praying for them and working for them. And because the Apostle Paul, he labored for all Christians to live for the Lord, labored for them till Christ was formed in them. And then, so listen to what he's saying to these Christians at Colossae and Laodicea. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea and for all those who have not personally seen my face. See, he labored in his life. He was persecuted. He labored in, he was a warrior for the Lord in other people's faith. And he did this that their hearts may be encouraged, because their hearts have been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Jesus himself. The Apostle Paul was enamored, and we all should be, and every pastor and every preacher should be, with all of us come to a full assurance of the understanding of the true knowledge of the mystery, that is Christ himself. We should know all about Christ, the truth of Christ, and all he did, because look at verse 3, in whom, Jesus Christ, are hidden all the treasures and wisdom and knowledge of everything. Look what he says in verse 4. I say this, that no one will delude you with persuasive arguments. I don't want you to be deluded from that. For even though I am absent in the body, nevertheless, verse 5, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. That's where we get our outline today. So he has this joy that these Christians have a stability in their faith. They know that all wisdom, the treasure of all wisdom and knowledge, is in Christ. They know that salvation is in Christ. They know that the life that they have in Christ, that through God's word, that he will guide and lead them to live for the Lord. They believe that. They trust that. But they're being attacked that it's something else. They're being the teachers, the false teachers are coming in, the world's coming in, the flesh is coming in saying, well, it's something else. You're not doing good enough. It's not happening. It's a struggle. God doesn't want you to struggle. There's something else you need to do. You need to stand on your right foot and hold your left hand up in the air. Whatever you want to say, but it's nothing else, you guys. Our faith is in nothing else but the truth of Christ, who he is, why he came, what he did, and the transformed life that he's given us through our faith in him. And so the Apostle Paul's teaching from that. And that's what we're digging into here. So the Apostle Paul is just overwhelmed, encouraged, rejoicing to see their good discipline and the stability of their faith in Christ. And he says, don't let anyone tell you differently that it's anywhere else. Don't let any pervasive argument delude you. For I rejoice in your stability in Christ. Now, as we look at verses 6 through 15, and we're going to look at them quickly. I don't think, Tom, I could keep up with, would you say 62,000 words, five-minute thing? That makes 15,000 words a minute. I could try. I can't do like a picture, right? But no, I won't speak fast. I'll walk along in this and that kind of thing. But this just really flows right along here. Well, we're going to look at verses 6 through 15. We'll answer the question, so how can we remain stable, unwavering in our faith? Anybody want to know that? Anybody want to know how you can remain stable and unwavering in your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? How about this one? Anybody want to know how you can get stability, maybe for the first time? Maybe this is the first time in your life and in your mind, as you're listening to the Word of God, that you get some understanding here that shows you how you can have a stable relationship with the Lord, a stable relationship in your faith in God, and maybe put some feet on the ground about who God is and who Christ is and what he's doing in your life. How about that? Would that be good to hear today? Absolutely. Got a young man over here. That's a great grandson over there. That's what I learned today. With all that comes against you and me, trusting in Christ, with all that comes against his finished work, how can we remain stable? Whether it be pervasive arguments, false teaching, a bad culture, the world going against it, difficulty, challenges, persecution, sufferings, or the battle with our flesh. Here's God's word on remaining stable in your faith. Look at it with me. Number one. Keep making spiritual progress, verses 6 and 7. Listen, if you're following the Lord, if you're walking with Christ day in and day out, and you're just continuing in that, and God is growing you and maturing you in your faith, the greatest provision for you to remain stable in your faith. There's no greater one. Listen to what he says at verse 6 and 7. He says this, therefore, that's back to you have stability of your faith in Christ. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Having been firmly rooted, now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. You hear what he has to say. He says, walk in him. We're to continue to walk in him. That's how you continually make spiritual progress. That's the only way I ever make spiritual progress, is I walk with Christ. I listen to Christ. I walk with him. He guides and leads me through the word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is God at work in my life. I walk with him. I walk with Christ. Day in and day out, that's what you do. That's what it says. Walk with him. We're to walk in Christ the same way that we originally received Christ, faith. You walk by faith. You're trusting in the word of God. You're trusting in what God had said. Your faith is in that. It's not in sight, right? The Bible tells us this. We walk by faith. Faith in the finished work of Christ. Faith in what God did in my life to give me a transformed life. I can quit that attitude. I can change that attitude. I can quit sinning here. I can be different there. God can use me in a missions ministry to not be self-focused. And the applications are endless. And you'll make spiritual progress as you walk with the Lord. I can tell you right now, if you're not walking with the Lord, you're not making spiritual progress. You're not. You might be holding, floating on the top of the water. Whatever you might see. But there is so much more to go forward with the Lord. And you'll just be stable in your faith if you're going forward with the Lord. He's changing your life. We are to be living, believing, trusting, putting our faith in who he is, what he did, and the way and truth of him found in God's word. That's what it looks like to walk by with him in faith. We get that, right? We know that. We see that. That's how you progress, right? Is there any greater encouragement to your faith that you just continually grow? It's incredible, isn't it? It's the truth of what God does. Like in 1 John 2:6. It says if we walk in him or we walk with him, if we abide in him, we ought to walk in the same manner as he walked. If I'm abiding in Christ, I'm going to start walking the way he walked, and he's the one that's going to be doing it in my life to help me walk the way he walked. This is spiritual progress, God at work in our lives. Jude wrote it in Jude 24. The Word of God says this, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory." Now, I just want you to get that. Who's the one that keeps you from stumbling? I stumble all the time. How about you? And then God shows me, guides me, leads me. How many times has your relationship with Christ and you just walking with the Lord kept you from stumbling? How many times? Anybody like once this whole week? Oh, we got like three people that God worked in their life. Now about 25 times this week in my life, the Holy Spirit brought back to remembrance the Word of God, the truth of God, kept me from going this way stumbling. It's him who is able. It's in my relationship with him. I walk with him. He's able. My life is in him. Colossians 3:4 says that. Christ is our life. Our life is hidden, guarded in him. I like what Isaiah said in chapter 2, verse 5. He said this, "Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Come, let us walk. That's what it looks like to walk with him. Let me ask the young people here. We'll call you young if you're 20 and under. You ever go on a walk with somebody with a flashlight? It's really dark outside. Any of you go outside with a flashlight when it's really dark? Seth, you're kind of moved past young. Just barely, though. But there's one flashlight. There's two of you walking. Isn't it important to hang around the person with the flashlight? What do you think? You wander off over there. What do? You stumble, don't you? And you're telling them, you're yelling at them, "Shine the light over here so I can stumble." Jesus doesn't do that. You can't yell at Jesus, say, "Shine the light." Jesus said, "No, light's over here." And if you walk with him, right, the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet, right? Jesus Christ is holding the Word. He's holding the lamp. We don't walk in this life apart from him. We walk, but not making spiritual progress. The one carrying the flashlight has the light. Jesus is the light. Walk with him. Will you walk in union with him? God put your life in union with him. You are one with Christ. You'll make spiritual growth. Look at verse 7. "Having been firmly rooted, now being built up in him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude." God's doing that. He firmly rooted you in Christ. He established your faith. You're being built up in him, Jesus Christ, maturing, growing, spiritual growth, which brings joy and gratitude. God's at work doing that. Like Jesus said in John 15, 4 and 5, "Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." And verse 5 said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Abide here means to remain, to stay, to dwell with. And get this, yes, you are in Christ because of your salvation, and Christ is in you. But that passage is talking about, are you remaining in Christ? Are you abiding in him? Are you staying with him? Are you walking with him? Because you can do nothing on your own. You can't bear fruit on your own. That's not how God designed this. It's a walk with the Lord. It's trusting in him, following him. That's the new life he gave it with you, that you have the ability to follow Christ and his word, and God will build you up. Now, none of us do this all the time, do we? But to be built up in him, to bear fruit, we have to abide in Christ. And if we don't walk with Christ, we are missing out on his divine work of spiritual progress. And if that's not happening in your life, boy, I just really think your faith is going to waver. God, did you really, is it enough? So we want to remain stable. If we're making this kind of spiritual progress, you're going to remain stable in your faith in Jesus Christ. You are. Secondly, look at your outline. Notice what takes you captive. Just answer this question in your heart and mind. In your life, what captivates you? What carries you away? What carries you away? If it's the deception of the world, Or is it the fullness of Christ? Look at verse 8 through 10. Listen to what he's talking. See it that no one takes you captive through philosophy or empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. You see the two, right? The deceptions of the world or the truth of Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him and through salvation you are in him, you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. You need to see, I need to see, we need to see, it's not the deception of the world that takes us captive. Isn't that what it's saying? We need to recognize that it's not that. Listen, because of the world's way, and the wrath of God is coming, isn't that true? Ephesians 5:6 says it this way, it says it this way. According to Ephesians 5:6, because of the way the world is, the wrath of God is coming. And then it says this, and we're not to be partakers in that way. We are to walk as children of light. Remember who has the light? We are to be captive to Christ, for he is God himself, head over rule and all authority. And in our salvation's faith, we have been made complete in him. We have the fullness of Christ. We have God's nature, divine nature. We have been rescued from the corruption that's in the world of lust. All the different things that I could talk about there. But none of this world's way and the deception of this world's way will bring you the purpose, the joy, the contentment, or the life that God has for you. It's not in it. What captivates you? What carries you away? The life of God, or the life that God has given us in Christ, is complete. It's sufficient for a life of godliness. Right? Is that true? So I want to be captive or taken captive according to Christ and all that he did and all that he will do in my life, because that's the completeness that God has brought me. And not listen to the philosophy of the world that you'll be complete by its wisdom. I don't want to hear that. So to remain stable in your faith, keep growing in the Lord, walk with him, being built up in him, and see to it that the world's way is not carrying you off. Last point, look at it with me. The outline says it this way. Draw on your spiritual provisions. Do you know that in your salvation, that's what I've been talking about, that in this transformed life, in this new life that we have in Christ, you have spiritual provisions that God has given you. You didn't have them before your salvation. They came to you in your salvation. What you have in your life as a provision for you to walk with the Lord. It's in verses 11 through 15. God's word tells us these four provisions that we have in our new life in Christ. First one, you are circumcised in him. Look at verse 11. And in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now let me tell you what that says. That is saying that in your salvation, God has broken the power of sin in your life. He cut it away. The slavery to sin, he just cut it right off. That dictated all of your life. You were enslaved to sin, now you're not. Romans 6:6-7 says it this way. Listen to God's word. Knowing this, that the old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves of sin, we have been freed from sin. That's the provision that I have in Christ. I'm not a slave to sin, are you? Now, there might be some things in my life that it might appear to be that's really overwhelming me. But the truth of what God has done in my life and in your life is the truth. Give me a big amen. Is it the truth that you no longer are a slave to sin? Amen. You just choose to sin? Right. Now, it might be really easy because your flesh really likes that. That's something really hard in your life and all of those kind of things, right? But that's really what's going on. The provision I've been given in Christ, God can change me, can grow me, can work in my life to where that sin or that bad attitude or that whatever that might be that God has, that's in my life that opposes what God has for my life, that thought, that thing going on, whatever it is that just seems like too big a hurdle, too big of a hiccup, too big of something, obstacle in my life that it's just I got to have, it's got to be there, or I can't be happy, whatever it might be, the truth of it is the provision God gave, he said, I broke that sin's power over you. Amen? Do you believe that, or are you going to waver? That's what God is trying to teach us. Yes, it's hard. It can be life debilitating to work through, to get over something in an attitude action or something that's just got a grip on your life. I'm not going to be naive about that. But the truth of what God did in your salvation is you're not a slave to that. He died on the cross to break that. Are you going to tell Christ you didn't do enough? You're going to bow before the Lord and say, I know you did enough, Lord. Let me surrender my heart and mind to you. Let me lay it all down. You changed me. He changes that in your life. You know your faith is firm in the Lord, do you not? This is the life of Christ that he has for us. These things, now we might walk away, whatever. I wrote it like this. I can change my bad attitude. I can change from serving self. I can go a different direction in my life because sin is no longer my master. The Lord Jesus Christ is, and the righteousness of God is. And God can and will lead me away from sin. It's just whether I will deny myself and allow him to lead me. For I am alive in Christ. Look at what he says. I've been buried with him. Put your name in there. In baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us of all of our transgressions. Is there any greater news? I don't think that's hard to understand. I just think it's hard for the flesh to let it go. Isn't it? I've been made alive together with Christ. Romans 6, 4 and 5 says it this way, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into his death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Did you get that? We too with Christ, like Christ, might walk in newness of life. For if we've become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. And Romans 8, 11 says this, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that gave me the newness of life. The same power that resurrected Christ is the same power of God that resurrected me to the new life in Christ. I'm alive in God because of what Christ did. And in that new life, I love God. I love God's word. I desire to follow God. I love the body of Christ. These are all the scriptures that we could go over. I desire to honor God with my life. I want to desire, but I'm battling the flesh. Third provision. You are free from the law. Look at verses 13, the end of verse 13 and 14. We'll get into this, really the depth of this, when we get into chapter 7 of Romans. But he says this, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and has taken it out of the way and has nailed it to the cross. Now, in your salvation through faith in Christ, God canceled the certificate of debt you owed God for breaking his law, past, present, future. He nailed it to the cross of Christ. I break the law in my life, don't you? The law of God? I sin. Do you sin? He nailed the certificate of debt to the cross. I can never be condemned by God because of what Jesus Christ did. There's no condemnation in Christ. I'm not looking at this life and how I'm living that God's going to somehow condemn me. That God's going to, now, he might correct me. He might love me like a father loves a son or a daughter, in the way he might work in my life, because he knows what's best for me, and he doesn't want sin's deception to destroy the things in my life. He doesn't want that for me, but he can never condemn me because of Jesus Christ. I can't be condemned. That's a provision in my life. I know that God loves me, he cares for me, he will never leave me, he'll never condemn me. Well, most of my life might be burned up when I go and stand before the Lord, but I'll still be with him. This is the finished work of Christ. This is what it is. The law is not the law in that same way over it. You know what? It says this in the law of God. Let me read it to you. I've been free. It says this. Scripture says this, that I have been freed from the law of sin and death. You know what the law of sin and death is? You break God's law, you sin, and you get the wages of sin, eternal death. That's the law. And everyone that doesn't have Jesus Christ, that's what you get. You break God's law, you sin, you get the wages of sin, eternal death. He doesn't weigh some niceness. He doesn't weigh some goodness. But that's no longer true of every believer. I'm not under the law, I'm under grace. There's no condemnation in Christ. God cannot condemn me. It's grace, it's all of grace. I didn't deserve it. I was just breaking the law all the time. And then I trusted and I believed in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though I break the law, I get grace. So the grace of God becomes the motivator. I can love God and love others and follow God because of what God did by his grace. I'm under grace, no under law. And as a father loves a son, God will love me and guide and lead me. I no longer walk in fear of breaking God's law, but I walk in gratitude and love for God because he rescued me from the truth of his holy law through Jesus Christ. Final spiritual provision. We have victory in Christ. Look at it with me. Verse 15. We are and will be victorious in Christ. Look at verse 15. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made public display of them, having triumphed over them through, it says him in minds, it's good to say through the cross. At the cross, when he disarmed the rulers and authorities, giving his life, he made public display of them, having triumphed over all of them through the cross. Christ has won the victory for us all. Let's close with this. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. We sang about it in one of the songs today. It's chapter 15, verse 50 and following, and we'll close with this. You got a fight turn my Bible there. I'm going to read it. So for us to remain stable in our faith, or maybe to even gain stability, maybe for the first time, we're to keep making spiritual progress. We're to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be built up in him, grow and mature. We're to recognize what taking us captive, choose it to be the fullness of Christ and the fullness that we have in him. That's going to be a work and a battle. We're going to have to recognize those things. And by divine power, he's given us ability to choose not to sin, knowing that we are not condemned, even though we fall short, but it causes us to love God because of what he did by his grace. We're to be living out our new life that we have in him with victory in our sights. That's how we're going to remain stable. Here's the victory. Ephesians 15, 50 and following. Let me read it to you. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on the immortality. But when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on the immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, oh death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he sums it up, all that we said today in verse 58. Look at it with me. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain. Let me tell you, it will never be in vain to be unwavering in your faith. It will never be in vain to be trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. It will never be in vain to stand firm, steady in the sufficiency of Christ, to believe the truth of Christ and walk in the life that Christ has given you, that he has for us. It will never be in vain, no matter what it looks like or what the outcome of that is. It will never be in vain. The toil, the hardness, the difficulty will never be in vain. So let's be immovable in it, no matter what happens. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning and speaking to our lives, each and every one of us, Lord, where we're at, to encourage us in our faith, to thank you, Lord, to give us a gratitude for what you've done in our life, to speak to us to where we fall short, Lord, and thank you for the message today that says there's no condemnation for those in Christ. God, you're not condemning us when you give us conviction, when the Holy Spirit shows us that we're not progressing or we're not changing or we're not really firm in our, whatever that might be, where the Holy Spirit brings conviction to our lives. That's the work of God and why we preach the word and why we teach the word and live it and why our foundation is on what God has said, because each and every one of us need to hear from God in our hearts and minds and let you speak to our lives. And it is teaching us, Lord, you always teach us the truth before you really correct us. Just like we've been learning in through all of our classes, Lord, that the Word of God teaches us the principles of God, the truth of God, who we are in Christ. So as you correct us, Lord, help us grow, whatever it might be, whatever the Holy Spirit is prompted in our heart and minds. It's because you are our God and Father. You desire the very best for us, without a doubt. And you want us to be in submission, obedience, if you want to say it that way, to your truth, because it is the very best for us. And it brings you glory, and it brings you honor, and it embraces your purposes. So we thank you for your work in our lives today through the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit. We want to act upon what you said. We want to seek out who you are. For the walk with Christ, there's no greater walk. To be built up in him is no greater building. To be captivated by the fullness that we have in Christ, there's nothing greater to be captivated by. To be freed from sin, to be not under the law, to have won the victory in the end of all of this, that we triumph in Christ always because we're alive in him. So we thank you for today and just the opportunity to come worship. And we thank you, Lord, for the mission work going on. We thank you for the young families and the young children that they're having. And Lord, we desire for them to live godly lives and to instill in their kids' hearts the truth of Christ. And we just thank you for the work of ministry that you're doing here. Such a privilege to be a part of. And it's what you're doing, Lord. We're just joining in. So we give you praise. We give you thanks. We honor you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We are dismissed for today.